Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and it's our Sports Tuesday. And today we begin by talking about bowling. It's a competitive sport for some people. For others, it's a leisure activity. Either way, there's a lot of fun to be had when bowling here in our state. Don Hildebrand with us. He is the association manager at the Wisconsin branch of the U.S. Bowling Congress. And we're going to talk with Don about how bowling has changed over the years. We'll hear about some of the stars of the sport today. And, of course, we'll take your questions and comments as well. What do you want to know about bowling? Why do you love bowling? Do you compete in tournaments today? Or maybe you can tell us what you know about bowling history. Number to call is 1-800-642-1234. It's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Don Hildebrand, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hey, Larry, how you doing today? Happy New Year to you, sir.
Happy New Year to you as well. I'm doing great. You know, I had a lot of fun in bowling over the years. I was on teams. I bowled a couple times a week in my youth. I carried a pretty good average, 185 in one league and 190 in the other, which is not bad.
No, it's got nothing wrong with that. So, that puts you on the left side of the standing sheet. You'd be on the top half. So,
yeah, well, I did it. There was the competition was kind of fun, sort of amateur competition for sure. And a lot of people bowl for fun, but there was that competitive side. And certainly there is even into the professional side. Tell us about bowling as a sport. How can people compete as a sport?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is like you did, is experience it and have fun. That's the main part about bowling, is to enjoy it and be able to do something that you like to do. You get out, you get introduced to the sport a little bit, and by, like any sport, by working on it, you can become better. Something unique to bowling, or relatively unique to bowling, is that you don't have to be great to be able to be out and competing in leagues and tournaments, because the majority of the league bowling out there is handicap leagues, meaning that you get additional points based on your average. So the higher your average, the less bonus points that you get. So you can bowl against people that are of higher abilities than you are and still beat them, because you're kind of bowling yourself in the handicap portion of it. If you bowl better than what your average is, you might have a good chance of winning a game. And that's how it's done with a whole team. So that's how most of the league bowling came about, before you started doing all the scratch leagues.
Yeah, what are some of the, are there misconceptions, or maybe what are some of the biggest misconceptions about bowling as a sport, professional sport?
I think, you know, if you look at through the years, people were, you looked at what the old bowling leagues were and the old, quote, bowling alleys, where you'd walk into the bowling center or bowling alley at that time. 95% of the people were smoking and drinking beer, and you walked out of there and you didn't smell so good. Remember those old days when you walked
yes.
into the smoking places?
Yes.
Yeah, and that was a little bit rough. That was the old bowling. You don't find that anymore. Right now, bowling is no longer called bowling alleys. They're bowling centers, or FECs, family entertainment centers. So they don't only rely on bowling and booze to provide the entertainment for the people. There's things with game rooms now, and they have indoor golf, and they have things that have escape rooms. They have a great food and beverage service in a lot of places. Not that there many are not the center of the community. People still got married there, and people went to hang out at your local bowling center because that's where people were and it was fun people that were there.
You know, I'm thinking about a place like, I think the largest bowling center is Bowler Lanes in Wauwatosa. Am I right on that, at 70-some lanes?
Well, it's actually Bolero.
Bolero.
And yes, it's in Wauwatosa. 72 lanes, 48 on one side, 24 on the other. You know, that's a prime example of a family entertainment center. You go in, you can now rent the lanes for a package that includes food, your shoes, and all the bowling. You have a specific time frame that you operate under, so maybe you're going to go at 1 to 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon or something. And Bolero is one of the big ones. But now, that's one thing, is a lot of the real small centers aren't around anymore, but Milwaukee is still home to one of the oldest certified bowling centers in the country at the Holler House. It's a two-lane house that's got two lanes down in the basement. and they've been sanctioned for well over 100 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think the might have gone back to at least 1908.
Mm-hmm.
it's a long, long time ago. Well, tell us a little about the Wisconsin State USBC, U.S. Bowling Congress. What do you organize?
Well, basically, our job is to run tournaments. We hold an annual meeting for all the memberships. The basic way this works is that you have USBC, which is, we'll call it the mothership, located down in Arlington, Texas. Then each state has its own state association, and each local community has its own local association. So here in Milwaukee, there's the Milwaukee Area USBC, which is the local one. Then we have the state association and then the national association. So our job on the state side is we run tournaments. We hold that annual meeting. The annual meeting is for all the locals in the state, and I believe there's just over 100 local associations in the state. So, like, you'll have something for Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee, but then a lot of other ones, the Northwoods USBC, the River Valley, which includes La Crosse, you know, and a bunch of those throughout the state. So we hold this annual meeting where we relay information and we listen to them as they have recommendations for what they would like us to do for them. We also maintain our State Bowling Hall of Fame. We run a jamboree, which is another meeting that's done about 4 months after the annual meeting. And then we also do a lot of scholarship money for youth in our sport. And I'll tell you, last year, our state association alone gave out over $115,000 in scholarship money to youth bowlers.
Wow. That's wonderful. What initially drew you to bowling, and what keeps you passionate about it?
It's a long story, and I'll kind of keep it short. But I used to live in Sheboygan, and I moved down to Milwaukee, and my dad and mom both bowled at Echo Bowl, which was located on Port Washington Road. Well, I started working there one day. When I turned 16, I had my first job, and my job was to sweep the parking lot and to stock the beer coolers. I went off to college at Madison, and they arranged for me to work at a bowling center in Madison, which is no longer there. But then I came home, and I went back to work at Echo Bowl, and I worked there and went through the ranks, turned into a manager, and got smart about 8 years later, and I married the owner. went through that portion of it, and, you know, I've always been one that believes in association. And there not only is the USBC side, which is the administrative side of bowling, we'll call it, but there's also the bowling proprietor side or bowling center side. And they have the same type of setup hierarchy that we have at USBC, only they do the bowling centers. So they have the National Association, the BPAA, the State Association, which is the BCAW, Bowling Centers Association of Wisconsin, and then there's also local associations for the bowling centers. And that's how everybody works together in this industry to help to try to promote the sport.
It's pretty cool. Eugene in Verona emailed us and said, funny thing about bowling, the pins haven't changed much in Eugene's mind, but the lanes sure have. Used to be wood, slick as ice. Now it's all oil and plastic. It makes it easier, but takes some of the challenge out of it. What do you think?
Well, yeah, there were the old days. I can remember we had wood lanes back at the bowling center. And you would have to sand them every single year. They'd have these big, like, lawnmower-type machine riders that guys got on and sanded the lanes. And then you'd have to go and pull lacquer over that wood to help protect it. So it was a pretty crazy free high for a day or two in there. Imagine all that area, surface area of lacquer being pulled. Well, then came the advent of the synthetic lanes, or as they say, plastic lanes, and mainly they were an overlay that would go over the top of the lane. But what it did is USBC has actually been is real important in helping to establish rules and make everything consistent across the industry. There's rules. I mean, it's from the foul line to the head pin is exactly 60 feet. From gutter to gutter is exactly 39 and a half inches. You can only have the flat gutters, which are on the back side of the pins, have to be, I'm going to go 3 7/16 inch deep. So that things are bouncing, and the game has gotten more consistent that way. As far as the bowling pins themselves, the pins have also become more consistent. They're down to just a few manufacturers, and they used to vary anywhere from weight from 3 pounds, 2 ounces to 3 pounds, 10 ounces. Well, now everything is down and it's all 3.6 or 3.7. So that's the only variance that's allowed. The pins also, the way they're built, there are certain specifics as to how far it can tilt before it falls over. There still is a lot there. Probably the biggest change is the consistency in the lane. They have companies out there right now, and the main one is called Voodoo, that goes out and actually levels every spot on the lane. They have machines that can run up and down these lanes and tell you where there's an indentation or where it's tilted or where it's not. And they can make the lanes more even than they ever did in the past. The final part of that equation is the bowling equipment. Bowling equipment used to have an old black ball with three holes in it, and it was made out of hard rubber. So it never really didn't make the ball hook a lot. So if you look at
I have one of those.
there you go. Probably an old Dick Weber 5-star or a Brunswick. But you know, if you looked at the players back then, the balls rolled a lot straighter. And now, bowling equipment, you go out to buy a new ball today, fit drilled and out the shop, it's going to cost you just under $300 to get a bowling ball. And the bowling balls can be made to hook more or less. And the way they drill them, they talk about dynamic imbalance, the side weights. It used to be you could have 1 ounce of weight here. That's all out the window. So that equipment is totally different. So is it easier? I don't know. Did you ever see Jack Nicklaus hit a ball 380 yards? I don't know. Are the athletes a little bit? I don't know. Putting some of today's equipment in the hands of an Earl Anthony or a Don Carter or a Dick Weber, boy, I wonder what they could have done.
Oh, yeah. Don Hildebrand, our guest today, association manager at the Wisconsin State United States Bowling Congress. Great to have him with us today. Comments, questions, give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. You can email us to ideas@WPR.org. Clara Neipert's our producer today. Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking bowling today with Don Hildebrand, Associate Manager at Wisconsin State U.S. Bowling Congress. Great to have him with us. And questions, give us a call at 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to Louise in Richland Center now. Louise, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Thank you.
What's on your mind?
Well, my dad was a longtime bowler. He was the secretary for the Baraboo Bowling Association and was also a state director and later state president of the ABC. And in 1969, the National ABC Tournament was held in Madison at the Coliseum, and my dad orchestrated to have all the opening bowlers for that tournament be from Baraboo, and he also brought in elephants from the Circus World Museum. He turned it into a whole Baraboo event. And I remember that. I was a kid. I wasn't very old at that time, but it was a big deal at the time.
What was your dad's name?
My dad's name was Art Betcher.
Art Betcher. Well, Louise, thanks a lot for calling. Don and comment. Don, are you there?
Yep, back at you.
Oh, okay. Comment on Louise's comments.
You know, that national tournament she called it the ABC, because when it was first formed, the Bowling Association was the American Bowling Congress, which actually came about, I think, in 1895. They started hosting tournaments to run the national events. And I believe they're at about 118 national tournaments right now. Our state association started running our state tournament in 1902. This year is our 122nd state bowling tournament. And yes, the openings are pretty fun. I bowled in a bunch of the USBC national tournaments. In fact, I think I bowled in my 45th one last year.
Wow.
I'm not very good, but that's all right. I have a good time. But I bowled on one of their opening squads when it was in Las Vegas. And before we got to bowl that night, they actually put a comedian out on the lanes, and he did a show for everybody. So that was a lot of fun. But, man, I give her dad a lot of credit for putting that together and getting – I don't know who would have been left in Baraboo if they filled up that bowling stadium at that time. There wouldn't have been anybody left at home. And I don't think they could get the elephants there anymore. I don't think they have those at the circus anymore.
Louise, that's a great story. Thank you so much for sharing that. Steve in Madison got a different kind of question, I think. Steve, hi.
Hi. My parents were both good bowlers, and I had an injury in high school, never really bowled, and I have now, my parents are deceased, I'm 70, but I had my knees redone, and I'm like a new person. I wonder if that's genetics. They were both good bowlers. My mom had 175 average at 91 years old. She died at 93.
Wow.
She loved bowling, and when they were younger, they went on some kind of a circuit with some kind of competition, and they really liked that too. But I'm wondering, I often said to my mom, I said, you know, you have a hook ball. How do you get a hook ball? And she never really explained it to me. And I wondered, and she said, you don't have to worry about a hook ball. She knows people that throw a straight ball and can bowl just as good as a hook, but I've never seen that where the people that are pros have don't have a hook. And I'm curious as to what the what your knowledge is about learning to throw a hook, if I need to throw a hook, because I can throw a pretty straight ball, but I've never bowled much. So now I'd like to do it.
I would have to say that the main thing is the type of bowling ball, as we had talked about a little bit before. If you have an older rubber ball or a hard plastic ball, they don't tend to grab the lane as much. And basically, in order to throw a hook, you have to spin the ball. You have to put lift on the ball to make it so that the ball is more like spinning sideways and skidding down the lane to begin with. And then as it breaks out of the oil and gets into the drier part, the bowling ball grabs the lane and will provide that hook. The reason that people throw a hook is that the angle coming into the pocket is very important so that the ball doesn't deflect. When you throw a ball down the lane, the ball actually only hits four pins when you're throwing at 10. It's only going to hit the 1, 3, the 5, and the 9. That's the only ones that the ball should touch, and the pins do the rest of the work. So by improving that angle and getting less of a deflection, you can make sure that the pins go the right direction.
Answers
your question?
I was going to say, you mentioned earlier that you can get balls, weighted balls, that will hook more. Am I correct on that?
You know, that it's not really weighted so that they hook more. They can be drilled with a little extra weight on one side as compared to the other, but there are still parameters there. But it's the surface of the ball, what it's actually made out of. Most of those, quote, hooking balls now are made out of a resin material. And also on the inside, on the core of the bowling ball, they have odd-looking shapes of weights that are very dense. And depending on which way you tilt that when you're drilling the ball will help to either make the ball hook more, hook earlier, or hook later.
So, Steve, so now somebody like Steve, he says, I'd like to have a ball that hooks a bit. And, you know, listening to what you just said, where do you go? Do you go to a good alley to find somebody who knows what they're doing?
Well, you want to find somebody who knows what they're doing, because they're called pro shops, they have their own association also that goes up through all the way through national. And if I were you, you want to get out there and check this out a little bit, go to your local pro shop and say, hey, you know, I'm looking for something that can help me hook the ball. And maybe they have something used so that you don't have to invest $300 in a brand new ball, because a lot of people buy, you know, wondering about the old days and the nowadays, people used to take one ball to go bowling.
Yeah.
Now you look at some of these some of these tournaments, guys are dragging in six balls, and one of them's just for shooting spares, because it doesn't hook; it just goes totally straight. So that's usually a harder plastic ball. But you could probably, they go back and they trade these in and try to get stuff. But if you go to your pro shop, I'm sure if you ask them, you got something used that I can maybe get into, and what they do is they plug it and redrill it to fit you.
Huh? Steve, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Roger in Grantsburg has a question, I believe, or a comment at least. Roger, hi.
How you doing, Larry, today?
Doing great.
I got a quick question on we used to have, well, they tore our bowling alley out up here in Grantsburg or something. They tore it out and made a dance hall out of it, then, because they said nobody really used it that much anymore. The machines in our bowling alley, a particular one, they were, like, pretty much junk. Constantly, I used to bowl leagues, and it was like, oh, my God, every 15 minutes, the guy's down there running back and forth trying to fix a clanky machine. And as so, has things changed any, or are they still just as fidgety and cranky as they used to be?
Okay.
Well, good question, but I guess we know why they don't have any leagues. I guess, you know, yes, they still can be finicky, but a good mechanics are hard to find. Once you get one, you don't want to let them go because there is maintenance that has to be done on that. It's like your car. If you don't take care of your car, it's not going to take care of you. But, yes, yeah, so there's still basically two types of machines out there, and that's like a Brunswick machine, which operates much more mechanically, an AMF machine, which is more electronic. But right now they're testing and introducing string pin bowling. If you think back to those old, that bar game where you had that little thing that you slid and it had the bowling pins and it, it had the string. Well, they actually have that in a big bowling lane, an actual bowling lane. And they are working right now on certifying those for USBC competition.
Wow. I didn't know.
And it's crazy because there's such a difference. There was nothing but complaints originally. And it all had to do with the length of the string. And if the string was 1 inch shorter, it changed the scoring average by, 10 pins. And it was they're getting them down and they're working on them. And the main advantage to that is the not having the need for the mechanic.
Yeah.
Or not having as much of a need for a mechanic.
Yeah.
I would think that, having the machines not working well, that's not a good recipe for setting up league bowling. You have to make sure they're running.
Thanks again for that call. Mary Ann emailed us. She's just getting into competitive bowling league, and she's not sure if you're the right person to ask this question, but she's having trouble controlling her ball speed. What drills or exercises can she use to improve her timing and release consistently?
Well, I think actually the absolute best answer for that one, Larry, is contact your bowling center, and they usually have a list of good coaches. If you're looking for something else, there's also a coaches association. Imagine that. And if you go to www.bowl.com, there is a feature that you can look up, find a, and you can go find a coach, and you pick your area and go through and can give them a call, and that would be my best recommendation, that and or just checking at your local pro shop, because they usually will have somebody on staff that is a certified coach that could help you out. The ball speed thing is different, and it, just to answer, it's hard to answer that question because it could be something more with your ball swing, the free swinging, the speed or the length of your approach. There's a lot of different aspects, and I don't want to throw you off on the wrong tangent where I think one of our professional coaches could take care of this for you and help you out a little better.
Thanks very much for that question. Bob emailed us. He's kind of... he says it used to be more than just hitting pins. It was camaraderie, community, sharing a beer after a game, win or lose. Now everybody's got their noses stuck in the phones, not even a smile for their neighbor. It makes him miss the old days.
Well, I would have to agree with some of that, but you're starting to see that everywhere. You love it when you go out to a restaurant and you sit there and you look over at the table and there's a guy and his wife and they're both staring at their phone. I still, when I go out to dinner with my wife, I'd like to talk. Bowling is still a great activity. As we said, more than close to 70 million people a year go bowling. And if you look at some of the open bowling, they're having a pretty good time. I miss some of that also, but bowling is a good excuse to get out with the guys. Or in the mixed leagues now with the team, have a beer or two and enjoy your time together. There's not a lot of other activities where you can do that. When I owned the bowling center, we always used to say it's a great date night activity. It's not like going to a movie where you go in to sit down, sit next to each other for 2 hours and not talk. You know, it's not. I've got nothing against going to movies, but it's somewhere you can converse and have a good time. I absolutely agree with you, and that's probably one of the best things about bowling.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And there's now, like Bowlero Lanes, they have extreme bowling that takes place later in the evening, but you've got, so for a younger crowd, I guess, I would say.
Yeah.
You got flashing lights and a lot of music and...
Well, that's a very big thing. You know, they used to always call it rock and bowl, but then you can't say that because it's copyright protected because somebody did that. But, yeah, they play some loud music. A lot of times they have live DJs. And now the different lighting systems that they have in, they have special things at some of the centers in the state where if you roll the ball, the lane lights up. You know, it's just amazing what they can do out there to try and make this fun for the bowlers.
Yeah. Ellen emailed us. Her father was a tax attorney, and he hated practicing law. So he borrowed $10,000 from his favorite client and bought a bowling alley. He was a Jewish boy from Detroit and constructed the business in blue-collar Pontiac. Just a little incongruous. His family owned the business until he retired when he was 57. The business was very successful. All four kids worked in the business, and she loved it.
Well, you know, that's what we were. We were a family-run business also, between my wife and I and my sister-in-law. And then two of my children also enjoyed working there. All of our kids at bowled. I can recall numerous holidays. Thanksgivings, we all work, so we'd come home and have dinner on Saturday night of Thanksgiving week because we all worked and let the staff off. But family business is the way that's the way they grew up.
Amy in Milwaukee emailed us. She and her husband met at Red Carpet Bowling Center main office. He was the entertainment director, and she was the receptionist. They met in 1987, married in 1995, and are still together. And that's her bowling story.
Well, as they say, the family that bowls together never splits.
Oh, well, that's what I hadn't heard, but I like it. Oh, man. Have you ever experienced a perfect game moment? I'll tell you one time I was sick. I had a cold, and I was miserable. And so, of course, I wasn't thinking. I just go and bowl, and I went and bowled, and I hit nine straight. And then I then I started thinking.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's got a little wobbly on that 10th ball.
Yeah, huh? They didn't make it, so.
Well, actually, I did. I had my best year of my life in 1983. I rolled a 300 game that year. I had a hole-in-one in Acapulco. So people tell me it didn't count because it was not in the country. I got married that year, and I'm still married to Krista, and that was perfect. And I also hit a slot machine that year for Star Trek machine. I got a whole bunch of Captain Kirk's, so I did pretty well with that one. So 83 was a very good year, but I've always considered myself a very lucky person.
Oh, man. I tell you, that's great. The evolution of bowling over the years. I mean, I think Wisconsin has probably more bowling alleys than almost any state.
Well, we've got about 400 centers in the state of Wisconsin. And that's down quite a bit. I just look at my local area here, all the places that are not there anymore that were when I was growing up, including my own center. The good news is all of the centers that are out there today are doing very well. The interest in bowling is still there, and people can have a great time. Again, you can take it serious or you can take it to have some fun. And even when you're having fun, everybody wants to beat the other person.
That's exactly right. Your organization regularly inducts people into the Bowling Hall of Fame. Any recent inductees you'd like to highlight?
Well, we have our state hall is a pretty amazing thing, and I would run amiss if I wanted to try pick out one or two of the best out of it. But I'll tell you that through our Women's Hall of Fame, back in the day, we were the ABC, so that stood for American Bowling Congress. Women were pretty much excluded until somewhere in the early 1900s, where they formed the WIBC, which is the Women's International Bowling Congress. So, again, then there was state, national, and local chapters of all this. Well, the women actually started their Hall of Fame in 1986 in Wisconsin. And the, quote, men started their Hall of Fame in 1991. And when I'm saying, quote, right now there's the USBC, and we used to have a men's tournament and a women's tournament. Well, now we have an open tournament and a women's tournament. Because women are allowed to bowl in our open tournament, but men are not allowed to bowl in the women's tournament. And this all had to do with the naming of the associations prior to us. We had the American Bowling Congress, and their charter was for men, or for bowlers. Then we had the Women's International Bowling Congress, and that's strictly for women. So right now we've combined. So we have our open tournament, and our open tournament, as I said, we started in 1902. This is our 122nd year, and we're going to have just over 2,000 teams compete in this tournament, which is 10,000 bowlers.
Wow!
We run for 17 straight weekends on that tournament, but then we also run the women's tournament, which runs for 12 weekends. We run a youth tournament, which runs for 12 weekends, and we run an open senior tournament that runs for 12 weekends, and we won a women's senior tournament that runs for 4 weekends in October. The rest of them are all in the winter time. So
keeps you busy, Don.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Well, I tell you what, it has been a lot of fun talking with you today about what's going on in the state of Wisconsin and elsewhere, actually, regarding bowling. And I appreciate it. I hope we can do this again. Thank you so much.
Larry, thank you. And thank you to all the listeners. I appreciate it. And just keep on bowling. Next time, go on bowling. Try it in your spare time.
Oh, boy. Don Hildebrand, Associate Manager at the Wisconsin State United States Bowling Congress. Great to have him with us today. Lynn in Waukesha emailed us. She joined the company bowling team on her first job, got to know her coworkers better. Their wedding reception was at Sunset Bowl in Waukesha 50 years ago. That's a long time ago. Well, it was a long, fairly long, not that long, but a fairly long time ago when Diane Nordstrom started in sports communication at the University of Wisconsin, and she's now the associate director of UW Sports Communication, and she's retiring, an old friend, so I'm really glad to have her on the show next. We're going to talk about women in sports communication, and we'll talk about Diane and her career. That next. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.